this place before we come to pray together. I would like to continue to study with you Gideon, the mighty man of God. Let's turn to the book of Judges, chapter 6. The book of Judges, chapter 6. The book of Judges, chapter 6, verse 12. Book of Judges, chapter 6, verse 12. Verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." So we know in Judges, chapter 6, the children of God did evil in the sight of the Lord. So because of this, he delivered them to their enemies. And during that time, we can see, even though they are the chosen people of God, they live in dens, they live in caves, they live in strongholds. Those places are not fit for the chosen people of God. But because they did evil in the eyes of the Lord, they live in those places. And we know dens and caves are for animals. Dens and caves are quite often very cold, very dreary, and it's not a place for the chosen people to live. And not only that, that everything they get their hands on, it would be destroyed by the enemy. So their livestock, their grain, anything that they have, the enemy came and took everything from them. So because of this, they cry out to the Lord. And when they cry out to the Lord, and the Lord wanted to send out a judge to rule over them, a judge to deliver them. So that's why nowadays, the reason you are here is to be trained to become the mighty man of God. But being trained is not easy. Now, quite often I like to watch military shows because military shows, you know, get me excited, right, to do exercise. Especially when they have boot camp, for example, the Navy SEAL. Anybody ever watch the boot camp of the Navy SEAL? It's crazy, right? It's crazy. So the Navy SEAL have this boot camp, six months, something like that, or less than that, I forgot exactly. But they can start off with about 80 to 100 people. And on the end, how many people are left? Brothers, the one who watches. How many guys are left? They can start from 80 to 100, right? After the boot camp, how many are left usually? Do you remember? No. It's like 5 to 8 people. So, during those training, it's tough. Sometimes they have to sleep in the mud for the whole night. And sometimes they have to kill like a tree log, right? And walk for miles, right? And it's just so severe. So anyone want to give up, there's a bell. There's a bell, right? You want to quit, that's it. Then you go home, that's it. So after that, there's only about 5 to 8 people left. And they become the Navy SEAL. And when you look at the Navy SEAL, you see they're so different from ordinary people. For example, my wife, her uncle is a Navy SEAL, right? He's only 5'3". But when I look at him, I don't want to mess with him. Just the way he walks. You feel like you're going to kill somebody just the way he walks, you know? Because he's been in Navy SEAL for so long, and he's so sharp, right? And every time I look at him, he's always looking at something, right? He's always observing what's going on and seeing what's going on. Normal people do not do that kind of stuff. Why? Because he's so alert. He's so alert. And the way he walks, he never walks like this. He walks, he's 5'3", he walks like this, right? And you know, that guy, must, you know, something different about this guy than ordinary people. So the same thing for us. When you and I are trained to become the mighty man of God, the way we walk, the way we talk, the way we do things are very different than the people of the world. But if we are the mighty man of God, and we walk like the people in the world, we talk like the people in the world, we do everything like the people in the world, then what separates us? Sanctification, right? Separate us from the people of this world. So that's why right now, God is training all. Include myself. I still need to be trained. Pastor K still need to be trained. Because there's different level of training through our whole life. And for you right now, on the end days, I chose to be so persecuted by the enemy. And God wanted to raise a judge, a judges, to rule over his people. And you guys are those judges. But you must be able to endure all the hardship, just like for Gideon here. for the Gideon, you can see, even though he was a mighty man of valor, but he was working just like a farmer. This means he doesn't mind at all working in any kind of duty that he put upon him in his family. Just like for all of us now. At this age, by praise and thank God, this year, I think IHTS is the first year that every time I go to the bathroom, the brother's bathroom anyway, right? It's very clean. I'm very surprised. It's very clean because every single year the bathroom is always such a problem. And every time I usually go take a shower at 7:30 when you guys are eating, right? And usually when I go there, the place is a mess. But this year, really, thank God. The place is never a mess. Why? Because usually when I need to find a place to put my towel, I can never find any place to put my towel because everything is all water, everything is all dirty, right? But this time you can put something on the counter and on the little blue thing around the thing, right? And that's pretty good, right? Thank God. Even though this is very little, right? Maybe you think, like, what is the big deal about that? But it shows a lot about your character. Show a lot about your character. Because this character, God can mold to become the mighty man of God. It's so important. Just like your room, right? Everything that you do, why? Because this is the boot camp for TJC, mighty man of God. So we must be faithful. If you have to do your homework, do your homework. If you have to, you know, do things that the council asks you to do, just do it. Why? Because you're not doing it for them. You're doing it for God. So God can help you. But we hope that even though there's about 40 of us, on the end, all 40 can become the mighty man of God. Not only one or two. But usually this is what happens, like on the end. There's one, two left on the end that can truly serve God and do things for God. But it shouldn't be like that. So do whatever the church asks us to do without complaining. Why? Because it's a training. It's a training. And then second thing we can see, let's go to chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 15. Chapter 6, verse 15. So he said to him, "Oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house." Wow, Gideon. Such a humble person. Because without humility, there's no way that you and I can become the mighty man of God. Because here, during a time, God wanted him to save the Israelites. But look at what he said. He said, "Oh my Lord, how can I save Israel?" It's very true. You know, when I first became a pastor, because I used to be, you know, a counselor before, a therapist before, and I thought, I can, you know, use my, what I did in the world to help our brothers and sisters do this, do that. But then, after several years being became a pastor, I realized, I really cannot help our brothers and sisters. Why? Because the battles that we're going through is not a physical battle. It's a spiritual battle. So because of this, I must equip myself with the spiritual weapon. Yes, even though I studied human being for a long time, but when it comes to helping our brothers and sisters, it's so important for me to learn the way of the Lord. Because the way of the Lord is so different. That's why I get to the point that there's no way I can help anyone. If God is not working, then nothing will be done. So that's why here Gideon, he realized that, "Oh my Lord, how can I save Israel?" And this is a true statement. But it shows his character, how humble he is. You can see Moses, 40 years old. He was strong, right? And he was learned in all different cultures and all different languages. But it seemed that time, I mean, he killed the Egyptian with his bare hand, right? With his bare hand. Then it seemed like he was ready to lead the chosen people of God. God said, "Come." He's not ready. Until 40 years later, trained in the wilderness, trained with the sheep, the donkey, all those things. Why? Because really, after you work with animals for 40 years, you become very humble. Right? You think that a sheep cares if who you are, what kind of education you have when you work with the sheep? Oh, Moses was a prince before. Let me have. Animals don't care. So that's why when I go to Africa, you know, Pastor Cole is quite educated, right? Theology. But when you go to Africa, nobody knows what kind of education he has, right? So people, if the brother and sister listen to him, not because they think, oh, he has a PhD in theology or something like that, right? They just listen, why? Because of the power of God. So the same thing as Moses working in the wilderness. All he had was not know what kind of education he had and where he came from. That's what made him humble for many, many years because of this. And then God ready to use him. When God ready to use him, and then Moses said, Lord, there's no way. How can I go to Pharaoh and ask him to release my people? There's no way. That's the time God will use you. When we get to the point that we feel we are nothing, that we cannot do anything. But look at verse 15 again, right? He said, indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. This means, even among my tribe and my clan, I'm the weakest one. And in my father's house, I'm the weakest one. And in other words, say, who am I that you want to send me to fight against this great enemy, to release my people from the enemy? There's no way. So that's why, brothers and sisters, for me, when I went to theological school, one of the greatest things that I learned from God, that is humility. Without humility, there's no way you and I can do anything for Him. Why? Because what is the opposite of humility? What is the opposite of humility? Pride. When we are prideful, then Satan will be on our side. When we are prideful, there's no way that God can work with us. Because He said, those who exalt themselves will be abased. And those who humble themselves, He will be exalted. So that's why the trick, the secret of being the mighty man of God is the heart of humility. It's so good. Why did Satan fell from the sky? Why did Satan? Why was he fall? Pride. Even though during that time, he was one of the most beautiful creation of God. But remember, he wasn't Satan yet. He was one of the creation of God. Then he became bad, right? Because what? Because of pride. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 14. The book of Isaiah chapter 14. When we read this, list how many I that he said, okay? Isaiah 14. Start from verse 12. Isaiah 14, verse 12. Isaiah 14 verse 12. How you are falling from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. Verse 13. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farther side of the north. Verse 14. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Verse 15. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depth of the pit. So how many eyes did he mention here? Five. Five eyes. Did he do anything yet? Did Satan do anything yet? Here? According to this? No. What did he say? What did he say? He think like this, right? Because pride is always like internal bleeding. What do I mean by that? But it's so hard to detect pride. Why? Because when pride is deep inside of us, and sometimes we don't realize it. Because if we are prideful to look at ourselves, that we are proud, then it's not an easy thing to do. So that's why internal bleeding, like some people internally bleed inside of them. And they did not know what until they lose all their blood, then they just die. Pride is exactly the same. And pride doesn't come when, you know, sometime when sister, when you guys are, you know, cute looking or pretty looking, you feel like, oh, I'm so cute, right? It's not like that. Even for brothers, you know, when you're tall and handsome, they just feel, oh, I'm tall and handsome, that's why, you know, I feel proud. No. This one time, during one of the IHTS, and we went around the room talking about pride. And one of the brothers, he shocked me, very shocked. And we asked him, you know, what is his weakness? And he said, pride. look at his brother. He's like 5 feet tall. And he's not good looking. And he had pride issues. And he's not that smart. Because I know him pretty well, right? But I never knew they would have pride. And that was his problem. He has pride, but I was looking at him like, what is there to be proud about? He's shorter than most of the brothers in the ICS. He's not good looking. I mean, when I say he's not good looking, I'm giving him some credit already, right? He's really not good looking. He's not that smart. But then to think that he has pride issues, it's shocking. And not only that, when I talk to many people, we always have some kind of pride issue. Why? Because pride is the weapon that took Satan, right? To fall down from heaven. And he will use exactly the same thing to bring us down from being a mighty man of God. You see? For Satan from the beginning, when he tempted Adam and Eve, if you eat of this fruit, what? You become wise. This is the pride of life. So make sure if you and I want to become the mighty man of God. Do not become like Lucifer. Do not become like Satan. 5 times he say, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation. I will ascend above the height of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Actually, he's nothing but a created being. God is the one that created him, but he wants to be like God. He wants to be God himself. So that's why God has to cast him down. So for us, if we want to become the mighty man of God, we must get rid of our pride and put humility inside our hearts. Really, to be a humble person is not easy. I mean, I've been to many churches and I've been to many council meetings. And you can see, I do not need to know what kind of position that brother or sister has. If they speak very loud and they always insist in their way, then I can tell that they must have some kind of high position in society. And quite often it's true. When they are educated, when they have high position in society. I remember this one sister that she always talked so loud during council meetings. Always yelling, always screaming. Why? Because her job position is very high. So one council meeting, she did not say one word. Then we would be surprised, yeah, she might be sick or something, right? So I didn't say anything. Then the second council meeting, she did not say anything else. The third, the fourth, we realized, wow, what happened? And guess what happened to her? Why she doesn't talk anymore? What do you guys think? Was that? She lost her job. She lost her job because of this. She feel like, oh, you know, now she's not going to say anything. Is that true humility? No. Right? If you cannot do a certain thing, then you say, I cannot do it, right? So if you, sometimes you're going to ask the lead sermon and you do not know how to lead sermon, you're like, oh, no, I don't want to do it. Is that humility? Just like a homeless person, right? You go out there, you see the way they dress. And you say, wow, the homeless person is very humble, right? He dressed very lowly. No, he has no choice but to dress like that, right? If you cannot give sermon, you say no. Why? Because you cannot do this, why you say no. But if you're capable of doing something, just like the Almighty God, he's God himself. But what? He came down to be like you and I. He humbled himself, not only become united, to serve, to become the servant of all. This is the true humility. If we are capable of doing something, but we choose not to do it, why? Because we do not want anybody, you know, we do not want to be proud. Well, that's one thing in our church that I felt since the beginning. A lot of our brothers and sisters have a lot of humility. And I'm very touched by this. I remember when I first came to Christ and I went to Boston Prayer House. And for this brother, I mean, I'm pretty close to him. We talk all the time, right? But we never talk, you know, what we do, this and that, right? So one time, because I worked for this health clinic, But this health clinic is about 200 people work in the company. And this one behavioral health is for the psychologists and therapists and that. And the other side is for medical. And one time I went to this meeting and I saw this brother. And I was so in shock. I'm like, what is that brother doing? I said, hey, brother, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I work here. He was the medical director of the whole company, but I never knew. And we worked for the same company. But I was on behavioral health. Right? I do mental health. And he does medical stuff. But I cannot believe it. For like 2 years, I know this brother. I never realized he was a medical doctor. Not only that, he was a director, medical director of the whole agency. I was completely in shock. And I was very touched by that, right? Because every time I talk to him, we talk about speakers and stuff, because he loved like audio and video stuff, right? So he always talked about building speakers and stuff like that, right? Because he enjoyed the kind of stuff. I enjoy the kind of stuff too, right? So we always talk about that, and then I didn't realize what he does for a living. Because I didn't really care too, right? But for him not to say, oh, I'm a medical doctor, right? And he's a very good one. And not only that, he directed, what, over 100 people, right? Because each side has, you know, about 100 or so, right? He was in charge of all of them. But I did not know until we go to one of the meetings, you know, for the head of the department, go there, and I cannot believe it. Unbelievable, right? This really touched me a lot. And then when you come to church, you do not know who's what and what's who, right? I'm sure that a lot of brothers in the Bond Park, they're quite wealthy, right? Can you tell which one is wealthy, which one is not? No, they all look alike. They all look like Asian, right? I mean, just very common people. Really, for me, this touches me the most. Why, when I go to the Greek church before, the Greek Orthodox church, you can tell a doctor a mile away, right? The minute they introduce yourself, hello, my name is so-and-so, I'm Dr. so-and-so, right? I don't see that. Even the priest, of course, when you come to a church, can you tell Pastor, if you don't know Pastor Ye, can you tell me he's a pastor? No. You cannot, right? And look at Pastor Yang, right? Can you tell he's a pastor? The reason you can tell them are here because they're older than you guys, right? You know, they must be something, right? But in a normal Sabbath day, nobody knows to be a pastor or anything like that, right? But if you go to the Greek church, the first thing you notice when you walk in, the priest, he has all gold and stuff on, right? He has this fancy robe on, right? And a big hat, right? And you have this wonderful scar. I mean, I like the way they dress, right? But you notice right away, you understand. And then they want to tell people, I'm the priest of the church. I'm the priest of the church. So that's why for us, actually, our church, if you look at all the positive things in our church, it's quite wonderful. And the humility that comes from our elder ministers is really amazing. No, I mean, every time we have a minister workshop. You know, sometimes a lot of elders would come to the workshop too. You know where they sleep? They sleep on the floor. And elders, sometimes they're 7 years old, 8 years old, they sleep on the floor. You think any other churches allow the elders to sleep on the floor? No way, man. They stay in 5-star hotels. I remember one year that one of the older ministers, the other time was at Irvine, and Irvine didn't build their building yet, right? And it has those trailers. And they used the trailer, I think, for RE classes back then. I think some of the kids must eat some kind of lollipop, right? So they probably threw it to the side. So when the minister woke up, he got all bitten by ants. But the ant is in the trailer. While he was sleeping, the ants bit him, so he's all bitten by ants. And these are elders. Really amazing. There's no way you can find any kind, this kind of spirit of serving God in the other churches except for us. So that's why, really, sometimes we must go back to the old ways, right? The old path, to see how they serve God. Because the way they serve God, really, they are full of humility. Now, as some of you know that during my TTP, I was the only student. And it's not easy as the only student. I have no one to talk to. Especially when they send a minister come from Taiwan, they would speak only Chinese, right? And every morning I just say, jiao. Right? And at night time, wan an. That's it, through the whole day. If there's no translator in a day, all we're going to do is look at each other. That's it. But I can learn so much from them. I mean, can you imagine being a student and for them, you know, at 12 o'clock, midnight, and 1 o'clock, they're still studying their Bible. For me as a student, you think I can go to sleep. I'm so exhausted. I want to go to sleep, right? And you think I sit at a table, I'm studying with them, like, oh, good night. Right? And they still studying. There's no way you can do that. Because you are a student. So I'm always praying, God, please let them go to sleep. Let them go to sleep too, right? But quite often, though, they stay up late, study and study and study. And some of them minister for 30, 40 years. And they still study and study and study, right? So I'm always waiting for them. The minute they go to bed, I'm like, oh, thank God. Go to bed too, right? But the spirit behind it, the humility behind it, it's really amazing. It's really amazing. I mean, when I go to Africa with Pastor Cole, right, I learn so much. The humility in serving God is so wonderful in the church. And that's why for all of you, you must know this humility. Let's go back to Judges. Look at verse 16. Verse 16. And the Lord said to chapter 6, verse 16. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. Why was God with him? Why was God with him? What do you think? What was the secret for God to be with him, brother? What do you think? Because he said, I cannot save Israel. When God hear that, actually just like, music to his ear, you understand? I cannot save Israel. If that is the case, you know what? I will be with you. I will be with you. But if Gideon said, okay, no problem, man, send me. I'm ready to fight. Then God said what? Sorry, you can go fight by yourself. But actually, the Lord already knew that Gideon, he was a humble person. Because he was a humble person, that's why God was with him. And what was his first task? As the mighty man of God, he just go out to battle, right? To fight against his enemy. Right? To kill as many people as he can, because he's a mighty man of valor. You can see, right? If you watch Navy SEAL and things like that. The reason to become Navy SEAL, of course, because of their, you know, physically, they must be very strong, right? To sleep in the mud, to sleep in the cold weather for a couple of days straight, no eating, stuff like that, they must be physically strong. But emotionally, they also must be very strong. But spiritually, we do not know. They don't need to believe in God, right? They're not going to say, oh, those who do not believe in God, go ring the bell, right? Because you guys gone home. No. But for us, spiritually, that's the most important part of being the mighty man. So that's why here, the first task. Can you guess the first task that God wanted him to do? Can anyone? What was the first task that God wanted him to do? Read verse 25. Chapter 6, verse 25. Now it came to pass the same night, and the Lord said to him, take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years old, and tear down the altar bell that your father has, and cut the wooden image that is beside it, verse 26. And build an altar to the Lord, your God, on top of this rock, in the proper arrangement. And take the second bowl and offer burnt sacrifice with the wood of the image which is cut down. So what was his first task? What was his first task? To destroy the idol of Baal, right? The altar of Baal, where? Where was the idol? Where was the idol? In his father's house. In his father's house. So this means what? This means his family worshiped idols. His father worshiped idols. So the first thing God wanted him to do, what? To go and destroy the altar that is in your father's house. The altar of Baal. You think that was easy? He's your father, right? But he's going astray, he's worshiping an idol, so you must go and straighten him out. Then after you destroy the altar of Baal, then what you must do? What we must do? Build an altar to the Lord. This is so crucial, it's so important. So when you destroy the altar of Baal, do not just leave it empty, but erect the altar of God. So the same thing nowadays, brothers and sisters. Even though you are young, it does not mean that you cannot destroy the altar that's in your house. But when your parents do something wrong, graciously, share with them. If they don't go to Sabbath, you share with them. They must go to Sabbath on time, do this and that, right? Because you must also destroy the altar of Baal that's inside your heart. It's inside your house, inside your family's house. This is the first duty. But you don't just leave it empty. You must put the altar of the Lord in the place of it. And that's even more difficult. So quite often, if you have any kind of idols inside your heart, right? If you play video games a lot, you watch pornographic a lot, all these things are idols. When you get rid of it, you cannot just get rid of it without replacing something. When you get rid of it and replacement, build an altar to the Lord. Build a relationship with God. And this is the only way they will be. Well, just like for my older brother, right? I feel really bad because my older brother was in jail for like 7.5 years. Then when he came out, of course, you know, he did drugs, right? He smoked pot, he drank, he smoked cigarettes, and hang out with all his gang friends, right? So when he came to visit me last summer, for one summer, for about a month or so. And he was really touched by God. And he said, this is the most enjoyable vacation I ever had. You know what we did? Nothing. We're at home, right? We just pray together, we study the Bible together, or we play Scrabble sometimes. And when we play Scrabble, he doesn't even play Scrabble. He just go to his room, right? But he said, this is the most enjoyable summer I ever had. So he wanted to make determination. And that determination is to stop drinking, stop smoking. So when he went back to Boston, that's what he did. Why? Because he wanted to be baptized. So he stopped drinking, smoking, and all these, because he used to be the gang leader. Right? He used to be the gang leader in his area. So all the friends that he has now, of course, most of them die, right, from doing gang stuff or get deported back to Cambodia. But the one who's left, they still follow him. So when they come to visit him, he doesn't smoke pot anymore, he doesn't drink anymore, so all his friends, they do the same thing too, right? Like, he doesn't drink and smoke, what are we going to do? And they don't do it either, right? But the problem is, even though he destroyed that altar of Baal, but he did not replace it with the altar of the Lord. Why? Because there's no one there to help him out, right? And that's one thing I feel sad, right? Because I cannot be there for him, even though I try to talk on the phone and stuff with him, but it's not the same. So I hope that now that he has, you know, now he's going to go back to his old self. Go back to his old self. He start drinking again, smoking pot again. Why? Because the altar of the Lord has not been erected inside his heart. So and I pray and hope that one day that the altar will be built. And only then he can get rid of the altar built inside his heart. So let's come up to pray together. And let's do this. Ask God really give us a heart of humility. Not only that, but also to destroy any altar that we have inside our heart beside the altar of the Lord. And only then that we in the beginning are to become the mighty man of God. Now let's come up and pray together.